This week we are wrapping up our more metaphysical series. And I really pray in my heart that these last 2 months have heightened your sensitivity to the transcendent, to things that transcend the physical realm. And today we're going to wrap it up with a message I'm calling The Import and Exports. The Import and Exports. We're going to start right away with the import. Notice I don't have the imports and exports. I just have the import, singular, and then the plural, exports. In Acts 4:31, I shared this verse a few weeks ago, but I want to share it again. After the believers prayed, the place where they were meeting shook. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak God's message without fear. This is the second recorded time that it says all were filled with the Spirit. And that's significant because it's many of the same people who were filled the first time. And so my point is, you get filled with the Spirit more than once. You get filled over and over and over again as God sees that you need it. And I think as we ask Him to fill us too. So that's the import, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the import, okay? What is the result of import? What's the outflow of that? If you get filled with something, what's the result of that? What's the fruit of that? Point A, feelings that are enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Part of the joy of me of getting filled with the Spirit is that my feelings are now enlightened by the Holy Spirit. Romans 9:1 says, I am in Christ and I am telling you the truth. I do not lie. My feelings are ruled by the Holy Spirit and they tell me that I am not lying. But that word ruled actually means, if you look it up in the Greek, Casey, it means enlightened. It means brought to light, okay? I am not a person who believes in pretending you don't have bad feelings. If you knew how many times in the last 2 weeks I have had what people would call bad feelings, I have been angry, really angry, really angry. I have been sad. I have been joyful. I have felt loved. I have felt confused. I have felt anxious. I believe in acknowledging those, and I have felt like crawling into a cave. Really, in the past 2 weeks, I have felt like crawling into a cave. But here's the thing. My feelings are enlightened by the Holy Spirit. And you know what I saw this time that I have never seen before in my life? That this verse comes on the heels of the end of chapter 8. Now, what do you mean by that, Sandy? Well, first of all, you know that when Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, he didn't put chapter 1, verse 1, verse 2, no. The verses and the chapter separations came much later. So sometimes we read a chapter and we think that's the end, and really, I think it's a continuation to the next chapter. It's not the end. So at the end of chapter 8, Paul has just said, I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of God revealed in Jesus. Not life, nor death, not angels or demons, not the present or the future, not fears, not worries, not powers of hell. Then this verse comes. You see, if I were recategorizing the scripture, I would include 9:1 with 8. I would. Because there are times when I don't feel loved by God. I know. Shocking, isn't it? But after Paul talks about there's nothing that can separate you from God's love, then he says, I am in Christ and I am telling you the truth. I do not lie. My feelings are ruled by the Holy Spirit and they tell me I am not lying. See, I would have put that verse with chapter 8 and started chapter 9 on the next verse, just saying. Now, people who are far smarter than me made that decision, but just don't forget that it comes on the heels of chapter 8. You see, sometimes yesterday I had to tell myself, because my peace felt really fragile. I felt like I had peace, but if a fly came by me and blew on me, it would crumble. That's how it felt. That's my feeling, okay? And I had to talk to myself out loud in my condo and tell myself, no, your peace is not fragile. Your peace might feel fragile, but now it's time for your spirit to enlighten your feelings. Your peace is in Jesus, and it's much stronger than you think. And as soon as I told myself the right stuff, you see, my feelings surrendered to my spirit. I didn't go, I feel great now. It's not like that. It's that I saw that my feelings are not king. Jesus is king. And my feelings are still there. I'm not going to pretend. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to be like, I feel pretty. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to acknowledge them, but I'm not going to let them be bigger than my spirit. My spirit enlightens my feelings, not the other way around. Whew. Okay. That's the first export, and if that's the only one we did, that would probably be enough, but I have a lot more for you. Point B, living right, peace, and joy. Romans 14:17 says, in the kingdom of God, eating and drinking are not important. The important things are living right with God, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Living right with God, you know what that means? That means coming into agreement with what he says. It doesn't mean being perfect, thank God, because I'm not. It means when he says something that I don't agree with, I go, okay, I'm the wrong one here. I'm going to put myself under his authority and come into agreement with him. That's one of the benefits of living in the spirit, is that you can see things from a higher point of view. But then peace and joy. Also, I heard it said one time that joy is one third of the kingdom of God based on this verse. And I'm like, I wonder if my life reflects that. Really, really. Because I want my life to become more and more and more in line with the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God looks like. Another export, C, hope. Woo, this is a good one too. Romans 15:13. I pray that the God who gives hope will fill you with much joy and peace while you trust in him. Then your hope will overflow by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not a math person by any stretch of the imagination. I'm a word person, but I've tried to create a word equation for you here with that verse in mind. First of all, it starts with trust. Because if you look, it says, God will fill you with much joy and peace while you trust in him. Some translations say, as you trust in him. So trust is first, times much joy plus peace equals overflowing peace, or overflowing hope, sorry. So here's the question. What part of that equation is me? Somebody feeling brave? What part is my responsibility? Thank you. Trust. That's my only part of the equation. All the rest of it is God, 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 God. It's God who gives me much joy. It's God who gives me much peace. And it's God who gives me overflowing hope. My only part? Trust. What does trust mean? To have confidence in God and his ability to make sense of it all. His ability to work it out. Trust. Ooh. Another export of the Spirit. Can you tell I'm going fast? Another export of the Spirit is supernatural gifts. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this. If you've been in the church for a long time, you've probably done a gifts test and all that fun stuff. I think it's great, but we're just going to do the 35,000 feet version today. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but they are all from the same Spirit. There are different ways to serve, but all of these ways are from the same Lord. And there are different ways that God works in people, but all these ways are from the same God. God works in us all in everything we do. Something from the Spirit can be seen in each person to help everyone. I just love that version of verse 7 there. Something from the Spirit can be seen in each person to help everyone. I think for too long we made spiritual gifts about platforms, and it's not. It's about picking up the towel and basin. It's about serving people around you. That's what spiritual gifts are about. So I want you to ask the Holy Spirit in your own time, Holy Spirit, show me what gifts you've put in me. And I can't even pray that I can help everyone because that's too broad, isn't it? It's too big. So instead I say, if I'm going to have a lunch with my son that day, I say, Holy Spirit, show me the gifts you've put in me that I can serve my son well today. And call out your love and hope in him. And if I'm going to go visit Betty at the hospital, she's still in the hospital. Pray for her, please. If I'm going to go visit anyone at the hospital, I pray, God, show me what I can bring to Betty, what you've deposited into me that I can bless her today. And then, if you want a graduate degree in this, then you start asking the Holy Spirit, hey, Holy Spirit, what gift have you deposited in Deborah that I can call out in her that she might not even see yet? Holy Spirit, what gift have you deposited in Alma or Rich or Doug or Isaac that I can call out and partner with you in today and tell them, this is what I see in you? Do you know some of the most significant moments in my life is when someone I loved and I was confident of their love for me, when they called out something in me I didn't even see in myself. And I was like, oh, and then something inside went, oh yeah, I think that's true. And then all of a sudden I'm called up to this higher level of walking in the Spirit because someone had the courage to ask God, what do you see in Sandy? And then share it with me, and then I can live up to it. Not in a work way, in a high purpose way. Like God calls us to high purposes. Another export, E, unnatural generosity. Oh, here she goes. You know, I don't talk about this often, so I'm going to take permission today to talk about it. Acts 11, 27 through 30 says this, about that time, some prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them was named Agabus. He stood up and spoke with the help of the Holy Spirit. There it is, Holy Spirit. He said, a very hard time is coming to the whole world. There will be no food for people to eat. This happened when Claudius ruled. Now, pause before we read any further. Ask yourself in this moment, if someone you trusted to hear from God came in this room and said, hey, y'all, I want to let you know there's a time of really bad lack coming to this country. We're not going to have enough food. We're not going to have enough. So I just want to let you know that's going to happen. What is your first instinct? Huh? Look to God, talk to God. That's good because you're spiritual. The natural, huh? Go get groceries, dig a hole in your backyard and put a school bus in it and start prepping, baby. right? That's the natural tendency that we have. If we hear there's going to be lack, if we hear there's going to be no toilet paper at the store, we go and buy 16 packs. Because don't let my neighbor get any. I want to make sure I have it all. Oh, whoops. Whoops. What did they do? They were filled with the Spirit. What did they do? This is crazy. The followers all decided to help their brothers who lived in Judea. Each one planned to send them as much as they could. They gathered the money and gave it to Barnabas and Saul, who brought it to the elders. What? If I got up and said, listen, the bottom's going to fall out of the economy this week, let's take an offering. Really? That's why I called it unnatural generosity. Because you know what? These people knew who their provider was, and it wasn't their employer or their small business. It was God. And still is. In the season where I was supposed to be getting child support, I rarely got it, but when I did, it was so little you would gasp if you knew how much it was. But God taught me something valuable during that time when I wasn't getting what I was supposed to be getting. He taught me that no one else is my provider. He is my provider. He taught me that. What a valuable gift. So much better than if I'd gotten the money that I had coming to me. Because I learned not to look to anyone else like the sunflower. I learned to look to God, to turn my face towards Him and be watchful towards Him. And He always did. Always. Every time. The last export we're going to talk about today. There's way many more. But the last one for today we're going to talk about is mission. Acts 13:4. Barnabas and Saul were sent out by the Holy Spirit. They went to the city of Seleucia. From there they sailed to the island of Cyprus. And I just love that they were sent out by the Holy Spirit. Because here's the thing, our theme for the whole year is adventure. There is nothing more adventurous than living life by the Spirit. Because the Spirit will lead you out on missions. And sometimes it's overwhelming. We're like, I don't know what my mission is. Listen, at one point in my life, my mission was to love and train junior hires. Junior hires, yep. And God called me to that for a season. But it wasn't for the rest of my life. There was also a season, and I'm still doing this one, where God called me to love and nurture three young men. To do my best to show them what the love of God looks like on a daily basis. To mom them through all of it, highs and lows. One of my missions is to shepherd Oak River family. But I think we get into this mentality sometimes. Paul and Barnabas and Saul, that wasn't their only mission. That was just one of many. And sometimes we think, if I'm going to get a mission from the Holy Spirit, it's going to be this big, grand thing. It's going to involve being on YouTube and having a million followers. And sometimes it just means bringing a bright light to the cashier at Heinen's. And that's enough mission for that day. So there we have the import, the Holy Spirit, and the exports. And the exports sound so good, don't they? But sometimes we find ourselves lacking in the exports. And so what is our typical response? I could almost bet a lot of money that some of you are sitting there and you're looking, give me the... There it is, summary slide. You're looking at the summary slide and you're going, yeah, I'm not doing very well with that one or this one or that one, and I'm so terrible, and you start the whip and you beat yourself up with it. And that's not supposed to be our response. Doug, you totally stole my illustration today in your prayer. I'm just saying. But I loved it. I was laughing. Did you hear me laughing down here when you're saying that about cups? Let's imagine that this represents the Holy Spirit filling you up. Okay? And when we find ourselves lacking in one of those exports, what we can do is say to God, God, I need some of your Spirit. But some of us go to a different pitcher. Rocks. Now, they're beautiful. Some of them are. There's a pink one. There's a white one. They're all different shapes. So what do the rocks represent? I'm going to make it really easy. Anything else besides this? If we try to fill ourselves up with anything except this, it's going to get heavy. It's not going to satisfy. Anybody want to drink that? That's what we do. If you go to the source of the Holy Spirit, He satisfies you without guilt or shame. And He doesn't ask you to carry anything. So what, you know what some of us do? We'll go, I'll have a little Spirit on the rocks. Anybody want to drink this? No. We think if we can just do all the works and then add a little bit of Spirit to it, it'll be great. That's not how it works. You know what others of us do? We say, give me my shot of Jesus, Sandy. I'll have a shot of Jesus on Sunday. And that'll do me for the whole week. I am thirsty. I am convinced that if we go to the source, and of course this source will run out eventually, but the Spirit never runs out. Whatever size container we bring, is the size God will fill. Now you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. All we have to do is go to the right source and bring the container. Just bring the container. So after Doug said what he did, I was like, oh, we're going to ramp it up. Because I'm not satisfied with that cup size. So I asked Stephanie to help me. This is the size container I want to bring. Oh, that echoes in a cool way. You hear it? Well, there's probably an illustration in there, too. When I get filled with the Spirit, I echo the Spirit. Everywhere I go, I see the things the Spirit leads me to see. I speak the things the Spirit leads me to speak. I hear the things the Spirit leads me to hear. I call out the things the Spirit leads me to call out. Listen, you don't have time for this in this world. I don't know what your rock is that you tend to go to. We all probably have different rocks, just as these all look different and are different sizes. But if you go to anything else, even if it's a good thing, anything else besides the Spirit, it's going to weigh you down at some point. There's an old, old, old song. I think it was even before my time, and I'm old, y'all. Now. Let me say one more thing before I do the song. Paul in Galatians said, "Why are you trying to continue in the flesh what was started in the spirit?" He was talking about works. So that might be your rocks. I don't know. It might be anything else. But I want you to be imagining yourself right now, coming to the Lord and saying, "Holy Spirit, fill me." And then picture yourself holding a container. And you might think, "I'm really not ready for that one yet because I might drown on it." Okay, that's all right. God in his grace and love and mercy will fill whatever container you bring. And maybe you've spent a whole lifetime bringing this. And so maybe the next step isn't that. Maybe the next step is just this. And that's all right. Or maybe it's this. But don't think that even if you take this container, that you don't have to come back again for a month to God, not to here, to God. Because that will spill out so fast. You should fill this up and try to walk with it. That would have been funny, because it would spill out everywhere, right? And that's what happens with the Spirit in us, I believe. Remember this old song? "Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole." God, that's our prayer today. We recognize that if we go anywhere else except the Spirit, it will just become heavy and non-satisfying at some point. And so we ask you to fill our cups, fill our bowls, fill our whatever size we have. Fill us up with your Spirit, Lord, so that we can function in the metaphysical realm, not in the physical realm. So that rather than the physical affecting everything else, it's the reverse. The metaphysical impacts the physical. "Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Here's my cup, fill it up and make me whole." In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I do have some extra cups if you are thirsty. This is good water. It's filtered water. Just saying, if you need some water, come and get it after church. Next week, Dave kicks off our new theme of exploring. Oh, cool. I didn't even know I didn't remember the waterfall, but that kind of fits with today, right? The waterfall. So his message title is going to be Unsearchable. And feel free to join us for snacks and chats and puzzles and whatever else, and a drink of water, but not a drink of rocks. Okay. Love you guys.